You literally cannot fuck up green bean casserole. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
This transmission is coming to you.
Tweener season. Is that what we decided to call
it? Yes, and a happy tweener season to you, too. We've got it.
Yeah. Thank you. We're in this weird time when the audience, I think, knows that we record ahead of time. And in this particular case, we're recording the day before Thanksgiving. But by the time it comes out, it'll be after Thanksgiving.
Yes, they'll be on about their fourth or fifth turkey leftover day.
Yes. So as you're listening to this, eating your turkey sandwich or your turkey gentrifying.
Turkey hash.
Or your turkey.
gone, all gone.
Unless, of course, the Bumpus' dog ate your turkey. because I was thinking, well, we could pretend it's after Thanksgiving and talk about Christmas. But no, we can't do that. Because that would be rushing the season. Nobody
yes.
needs that.
Nobody. Nobody needs that from us anyway.
There. I unplugged my power cord. I wonder if the listeners notice when I unplug my power cord.
I do.
I know you do. So happy tweener season. I'm alone in the house right now.
Ooh.
And it's weird. It's always weird. I swear to God, the only reason I'm still alive is because I have other people in my life. I guess you could say that about a lot of things, though, couldn't you?
But with you, though, no, especially.
Yeah.
Because I knew you before there were other people in your life.
Right. Yeah, I had this house in Lafayette, and you would go in the front door, and there would be a path to the kitchen. Because, you know, you had to get to the kitchen, and there would be a path. From the kitchen, it would backtrace the path to the front door, but then it would split off and go over to the bedroom. I had two bedrooms, and then there was a path to the bedroom I used to sleep in, and then a little path to the doorway of the guest bedroom, and then that was it, because the guest bedroom was full of crap.
I was going to say, it didn't house guests, that's for sure.
No guests in there. And then the rest of the house, of course, was piled up with stuff. Yeah. I was a hoarder.
Yeah, I slept on your couch. So, yeah, there was no guesting in that bedroom.
It's a weird thing. I think back on that and I think, what was I doing? Why was I doing that? What was I saving things for? I rarely opened my mail, but I, for some reason, felt like I couldn't throw it away. So I had bags and bags full of mail just laying around.
You were a hoarder before hoarders were cool.
That's true. That's also back in the day when my landlord lived right next door. And for some reason, you know, he explained to me when I, this should have been a red flag. When I first rented the house, he says, you know, this is where my mother lived before she passed away. And this is part of my wife's and my nest egg. You know, this is how we, part of our retirement. He was a guy who would like give lectures on how to be retired and survive or whatever. So he's like, this is part of our nest egg. So I want to make sure it's well taken care of. Like, okay. I didn't take that to mean, therefore I will be snooping on you and yelling at you for not living your life correctly. You know, he would mow my grass. I was like, well, that's fine with me. Because I guess I was supposed to mow the grass. But I guess I didn't do it frequently enough for him. So he would just, while he was mowing his grass, he'd go ahead and mow my grass. And the reason I knew that is I'd be laying in the bed, you know, doing private things with the window open. And there his bald head would go by the totally killed the mood.
You're doing private things with the window open.
Well,
we've all been there.
You have your own house. I mean, why are you?
That's right.
Anyway, so I'd leave for the holidays, or whatever, come back, and he'd be like, so you left the ceiling fan on while you were gone, and I turned it off for you. I'm like, you entered my home? And he's like, and you have a lot of clutter. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what I do. Anyway, that was during the time when that Jehovah's Witness guy, you know, I'd always wondered about Jehovah's Witnesses. And he, these ladies knock on the, like, for some reason, I fancied myself an expert philosopher and debater.
That's what you do when the window's open? Is that?
I was like, yeah, like a master debater. So these ladies come to the door and they're like, do you think things are getting better or worse? I was like, in what sense? I was like, just in the world in general. I'm like, well, I think sometimes things get better and sometimes they get worse. It's like a cycle. But in general, maybe over the long haul, probably worse. They're like, okay. And then they start getting into some solutions that they thought would work. And so I invited them in to have a conversation. And I talked them into several logical corners. And they're like, well, it's been very nice visiting with you. Would you mind if someone else visited with you? I'm like, no problem.
Somebody smarter than us.
Yeah. I was like, Tuesday works for me. And they're like, okay. Like, so then they sent, who was probably one of the elders of the church, their expert conversion specialist, right? And every Tuesday, I swear to God.
It's on his business card.
Yeah. For like 6 months. Every Tuesday, like clockwork, this guy would show up. I'd invite him in. We'd sit there for an hour. You know, I'd tell him. It's where I first was like, you know what I don't get about God? I was like, God created everything, right? Yeah. And including us, right? Yep. And so we're supposed to do good or he's going to send us like to hell, right? Yep, that's right. You do good, you go to heaven. You do bad, you go to hell. But he programmed us, right? So he programmed us so that some of us are definitely going to fail and end up in hell. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But if he'd never made us in the first place, we wouldn't have to suffer in hell. So it seems like this big game where he's like, I'm going to make these things and, you know, some portion of them I'm going to destroy and make it hurt. Well.
Yeah, make it hurt.
Just don't make me in the first place. Thank you very much. And he's like, well, he did give his free will. And and if he didn't give his free will, you see, God made man to worship him and please him. And so if we didn't have free will, then you see, it wouldn't give God pleasure because if you make something to worship you and it just worships you, well, what good is that? It didn't choose to worship you. I was like, really? So God is so vain that he made this robot to worship him, but he made it so the robot might not worship him so that when he does worship him, it makes him feel better. Yeah. And he made it, he guaranteed that there would be some portion that would definitely not. Yep. That's right. That's like, that seems like the most cruel, weird game I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
He stopped coming around after a while.
Well, eventually they hit you with the, you can't understand the mind of God. Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
If this, you know, I don't pretend to, but clearly you can't.
Then you got to be like, well, could God create something that's not perfect? Right? Yeah. Well, why didn't he? what's the problem here? Well, yeah, God's mysteries we're not meant to understand. So anyway, yeah, that was that apartment, and I was a hoarder.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, but thank goodness I remember I came down there to visit you, and while you were at work, I'm just looking around. I'm like, I want to clean this apartment. I couldn't handle it, so I cleaned your apartment for like 2 days while you were at work. I'm just like, I can't.
Can't take it. You're welcome to visit anytime. The problem was, when I was growing up, my mom did all that. And it was just like magic. I never had to help. And so I had no concept of how that kind of stuff got done.
And she still did, too, because I know for a fact, because you'd said that, you're like, oh, mom cleans it out. She usually cleans it up for me. So, yeah, that sounds about right.
That's too bad. That's I wish I had those times. I wish I had it all over to do over again. If I knew then what I know now, I would be like Kramer in Seinfeld and just cancel my mail. Well, by now I'm sure our listeners are like, well, what are we talking about this week? Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, folks. You know how it is. We have a great episode or several great episodes in a row, and then we have to have a bad one. Well, we decided that this week would be our bad one, and so we're going to make sure it's good and boring for you.
Yes.
No. But we may or may not get a call from Superfan James. We were expecting it, and then he has become afflicted with some sort of an ailment. So it's a mystery ailment. No idea what it is. Because the only messages we're getting have to do with Pepto and stomach cramps. So I don't know if he's pregnant.
He did have surgery recently.
Oh, he did?
I don't want to ruin his story, but yes, he did have surgery recently. So that might be delaying him too.
Well, and because of HIPAA, we can't really say. I mean, you don't want the HIPAA police. Anyway, we may or may not have SFJ. If he calls, we'll break in and go ahead and have a talk with him, because he has some thoughts about the Halloween episode, and I swear to God, I can't wait to hear what he thought of it.
Now there's been enough time that it's not, the wound won't be so tender if he rips it apart as he's done in the past.
And we have an entertainment-themed headlines today, and honest to God, those are the only two things I've prepared. Other than that, it's just a bunch of like small talk about Thanksgiving and Christmas and whatever else is going on. So maybe what we should do, unless you had something you wanted to add to that, we could just do headlines. Because
fortunately, the Don't Panic radio show comes equipped with Big Jim Slate.
He has satisfied listeners from coast to coast. All right, we'll do some headlines. All right, these are all from TMZ, except the last one. So this first one is definitely from TMZ. And it says, world's most beautiful girl, Tylane Blondeau, has advice for Millie Bobby Brown. Now, who decided? It was in quotes, world's most beautiful girl. And I'd never heard of her. And have you heard of this girl, Tylane Blondeau?
No, I was going to Google her here.
That's cheating. Sounds like something you would use on your old, like, 1972 Camaro T-top.
Blondo, to cover
up a rust spot.
You got to buff out that Blondo. Don't get the cheap stuff. Get the Tylane Blondo.
What color is your car? Tylane Blondo. And it may be like a GQ picked Colin Kaepernick as Citizen of the Year. maybe one of those girl magazines picks a most beautiful girl. Because, you know, you pick a man to be Citizen of the Year, and then if you want a woman to be honored, it has to be something about her looks.
That's right.
What kind of advice would she have? So let's say that there's some magazine that names the most beautiful girl in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advice is she giving a 13-year-old?
And why?
Yeah.
Why would you? What advice could? No. Why? She's 13 years old.
Have you seen the Beyond Stranger Things yet? Any of it?
Yes. Yeah, I watched all half a dozen episodes or whatever it is.
We watched maybe three or four of them, mm-hmm. but she, having her sitting there next to those boys
mm-hmm.
is like, I'm going, okay, we had just finished watching, you know, Stranger Things 2,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we're watching Beyond Stranger Things, and I'm like, holy hell, she looks like 18, 19 years old in the...
It's
when she's fixed up for the, you know, makeup.
It's stuff. It's not so much how she looks versus how she carries herself, because as you well know, girls mature emotionally faster than boys do. So these boys are being, yeah. you know, idiots or morons, and she's carrying herself,
yeah.
you know, quite well. And it's like night and day difference. But I don't understand why viewers or whoever are so anxious for her to, like, grow up. But that seems to be the case. Well, I have my theories, but they're disgusting theories. So I'll hold off on them for a minute.
Yeah, because we only do disgusting stuff in the second half of the show.
Well, no, I was more interested in what you had to say, honestly.
See, I just want to, I would like for SFJ to acknowledge that it's not my fault that I do most of the talking. Because even when you have something to say, you don't say it.
I'll go ahead and say it. I think the reason why...
Please.
Okay, you have two young daughters.
Yes, I do.
I have two young daughters.
Yes, you do.
The concept of them growing up terrifies you. Just as mine growing up terrifies me. And my oldest is 16, so she's at that... completely terrifying age. I don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
I think the people that are anxious for her to grow up want her to grow up so fast because they no longer want to feel guilty that they want her to grow up so fast because they can't wait till she's old enough to, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Objectify. Girl. Yeah, no, they don't want to feel guilty about objectifying her, so they wanted her to hurry up and grow up.
Let's be a little more blunt.
Because there's a lot of, well, I can't help it. That's just how I feel about it.
No, I'm saying you're kind of dancing around it. People are lusting after her and having carnal thoughts, and
yes.
they want her to grow up so that they don't feel so disgusting about having those thoughts.
The very idea of that makes me want to throw up in my mouth because, like I said, I put my own kids in her place, and I go, yeah.
So the thing I was going to say before you interrupted me is I can't get a word in edgewise. I don't even know what that saying means. But what I was going to say is Howard Stern, back when the Olsen twins from Full House,
mm-hmm.
when they were 13, 14, 15, no, they were probably, he probably at least waited till they were like 17.
Mm-hmm.
But he started this countdown of when they were going to turn 18. And knowing, like, given all the stuff that we've learned about Howard Stern and how he's not really who he seems to be or who he's portrayed to be, mm-hmm. He's really just this normal guy with kids and a family and kind of awkward and shy, but then his radio personality is just this, like, sex crazed, whatever,
mm-hmm.
confident guy.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, I think what he was doing was sort of, trying to get ratings, of course, mm-hmm. but B, probably pointing out the absurdity of what we're saying, but he had this countdown of,
mm-hmm.
you know, only 254 days until the Olsen twins turn 18.
Yeah.
And the clear implication was, and then we get to see them naked.
Right.
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 But you're right. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because
you're absolutely right.
As a father, here's the other weird thing. As a father of young kids, you don't want them to grow up too fast because you know eventually the world's going to turn to shit for them. So you don't want them to have to experience that. So what kind of weirdo you know, wants that to happen so fast. And it's the weirdo who, you know, like I said, objectifies him or lusts after him and doesn't want to feel guilty about it.
I completely agree. And I'm sure that if we were talking to one of those guys, he would just be talking about how it's the mainstream media that, you know, sexes him up and makes him, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, what was it? Natalie Portman got it, too, early on. When she was in the Professional. Like, suddenly, although this was well before the worldwide interweb was the phenomenon it is now. And there was still a large group of men who were like, couldn't wait for this 13-year-old girl who was in a kind of a mature role in the movie, because she turned into a hitman. They were waiting. It's a decent movie. They were just counting down, waiting for her to get old enough so they wouldn't feel guilty about it. But now with the internet being the way it is, and media being the way it is, it's like ramped up to like 11. That's what I did there.
I do. Yeah, nobody's talking about they can't wait for these boys to turn 18.
Mm-mm. No, they did it with Harry Potter, though. The kid that plays Harry Potter. All the girls I know that were into the Harry Potter movies were like, just they couldn't wait for that boy to get old enough. And, you know, that creates some kind of weird double standard, maybe. I don't know. But still, that's disgusting in and of itself.
Well, Millie Bobby Brown, mm-hmm. First of all, brilliant publicist for giving her those three names, right?
Right.
Because everybody's going to remember that. And it's fun to say, Millie Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that she could have is she has one of those faces that could go either way, you know?
Yeah.
She could be beautiful as an adult, or it could just... Although, you know, it's with women, and really men too, it doesn't really matter, because if you carry yourself with confidence and grace, you're going to be good looking regardless.
Yeah. Confidence goes a long way, man. Look at me.
Confidence. He has a lot of confidence. Confidence goes a long way. The guy, Steve, the guy that played Hair Steve in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I was pointing out to my wife, I was like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Look at him. They could have had, somebody that looks like Rob Lowe or Charlie Sheen or, you know,
right,
Brad Pitt, you know, some classically good looking dude, right? Mm-hmm. And then there'd be no question, right? He's good looking. I said, but this guy looks like one of those guys that I would have said in high school, like, is he good looking? I can't tell. His nose is like too pointy. His neck is a little bit too round. I don't know. There's just something about him that's just not like, he's no Rob Lowe, right? Who is a beautiful man. Okay.
A few of us are Rob Lowe.
Yeah. And she said, and I said, these guys in my high school, like, we didn't have any Rob Lowe types in my high school, but we had these guys that all the girls thought were cute or hot or whatever it is girls thought of men, right? Or boys.
Rad. They were rad.
And she said what we talked about, which is confidence. She said, mm-hmm. Swagger, confidence, you know, the game, basically, that you have. She said that goes a long way, and that's about really all you need. Like, and that's what we were talking about last week, which is, mm-hmm. You and I didn't get that, or we did get it, but didn't want to do that, or some. I don't know. I would have if I'd known that. I would have been like all about it, right? I ain't gonna pretend that I wouldn't have been all about that, you know. I thought it was
I would have just fought along and grabbed your sloppy seconds.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I'm
too lazy to be about it.
Well, I just assumed I had been dealt a genetic hand that was like, I was like, why did my dad talks about, you know, he did all right with the ladies, you know, before mm-hmm. he was married. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why am I not doing all right with the ladies? I kind of was like my dad. It's not looks, dumbass. That's what somebody should have said to me. They should have said, it's not looks, dumbass. Stop acting like a dweeb.
Well, the problem is the people that would have given you that advice back then, you wouldn't have listened to. Because it would have been like your mom, you know, your mom would have told you,
you're so handsome,
you know, personality, and you'd have been like, I don't believe anything an adult tells me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Steve told, what's his name on the track, Jorge. I call him Jorge because he looks like Jorge. But
yes,
the Dustin. He told Dustin, he gave him advice. I wish who is that guy that looked like Rod Stewart? We had a guy, swear to God, we had a guy that looked like Rod Stewart that we went to high school with. I can't think of his name. But why didn't he take me aside and just go, why couldn't he be cool like Steve and just go, hey, listen, man, there's plenty of bitches in the sea. And all you got to do, man, you got to have swagger. You got to have game. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. Put some of this Farrah Fawcett hairspray on. Let's go.
Mouth breather.
This next one, also from TMZ. Heidi Klum's ex busted for shrooms. Wait for it. At Burning Man.
Who busts anybody for anything at Burning Man?
Yeah, you should be busted for wearing too many clothes and not being high enough.
Well, you don't have like a hemp hookah shell necklace on, mister.
Your hair is too clean.
You don't have like the white guy dread thing going on. You're out, mister.
You're like, who are you supposed to be culturally appropriating?
That's right. You smell too nice.
Hey,
you're
clean
out.
Cut. Up against the wall.
That's right. The squares are getting busted at Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, how bad? Okay. I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to reveal the hypocrisy of what I'm going to say. How do you get busted for doing shrooms at Burning Man? What kind of an idiot must you be? What are you just, you're wearing them as a necklace, and dude's clearly 5'0", and you don't hide them, and maybe you're dancing around doing some psychedelic shit? I mean, what kind of an idiot must this guy be? Having said that, hey, did I ever tell you that back when I was in my early 20s, I got arrested for public intoxication, wait for it, in the snake pit at the Indianapolis 500.
I have heard the story, yes. I don't know if our listener, I laughed uproariously at your story.
I was just like, how does that happen? How can I, it's like, how can I, it's, it would be, what would it be like? It'd be like,
getting busted for shrooms,
yeah,
at Burning Man?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. Oh, man. Or you're at the shooting range and you're arrested for possession of a firearm. Like, what? It's like, I thought I was supposed to be drunk. What are you doing? How can you call
That's
this
right.
public?
I thought that was like the designated area.
That was the designated area to be drunk. And what do you want me to be out on the streets drunk? At least I'm doing it here where I can't hurt anybody. Oh, that made me so mad. I'm sure this guy's feeling the same way. He's like, this is like a designated area. You know Burning Man. You know, back in the day when I first started hearing about Burning Man, I was like, ooh, I want to go so bad, but I only have about 5 years.
Yeah.
Because if I don't get there within 5 years, it's going to be, you know, all Hollywood and commercial. And here you go. It's Hollywood commercial, and they have cops arresting people for... Yeah. Being on shrooms.
Yeah, I watched it back in the 90s or whatever it was. I watched a documentary on it. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, exactly like you said. You know, I'd like to go to it, but the window of opportunity is very narrow before it becomes, you know, Woodstock. Yeah. What
25th
was it?
The anniversary.
Of the 90s.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, so I had said, well, what's the next Burning Man? I got to find out about that and get to that. But the problem with that is, with social media and the internet, you would only have about 10 minutes to get to it. Because by definition, as soon as I heard about it, you know, it would already be...
It'd been around a while. But you need to start your own Burning Man. Just do like the Burning Leaves Festival.
Burning Leaves.
Burning Leaves.
Springfield Township. My dad would be all over that. He's like, yeah, I'll have people come now, rake my leaves and burn them. Yeah.
Just hope he's not running around naked outside eating shrooms.
Burning Leaves Festival. You know, somehow we got to take advantage of this. Right now, the 80s are super popular, right?
Yeah.
And in particular, being coming of age in the 80s is super popular. Mm-hmm. We watched a few episodes of The Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Oh, dude, that show was amazing.
I love that show.
That show kills me.
Because you're a moron.
It gets better. Yeah, because you're a moron. Yeah. My kids pointed out that the dad takes his pants off at the door, too, and I'm just like, what?
You do that?
Who doesn't do that?
I've never done that. I was like, really? My dad never did that? I don't do that. I thought, why haven't I started doing that? That's pretty cool. I'm home. Nobody bother me.
Nobody bother me.
The episode where his son goes to the furniture store to work with him and starts doing well, and they both come home and they both take their pants off, because that's what you do, right?
Well, you know, I had hedged on watching that show because the mom used to be on Reno 911, and I hated
that's who
that
she
show.
Is. I couldn't figure out who she was. Yeah. That's who she is.
Yep. Ugh. Yeah, and I mean I don't know. I think she's looking on this show, dude. She's one of the prettiest women in the world. Maybe she should be giving Millie Bobby Brown advice instead of Heidi Klum's ex or whoever it was.
Heidi Klum's ex.
By the way, was that Seal?
I don't know.
That got busted for
was
the
he Heidi Klum's ex?
Maybe. They were dating, I guess, at one time. I don't know if, you know. All I imagine is this guy sitting in the back of the paddy wagon going, man, last week I was Heidi Klum's boyfriend. Now I'm busted for shrooms at the one place where you shouldn't be allowed to be busted for shrooms.
And he just starts a roundabout song. No, we're never going to survive without a little what? What was it? Never going to survive without a little patience. No? Is it patience? What is it we need to survive?
Crazy.
What? Gravy?
Well, gravy helps too, but crazy.
Oh, unless we get a little bit crazy. Not without a little crazy. That would have been a good song too. We ain't never going to survive without a little crazy.
I like gravy better though.
We got one more and then we can take a break. And maybe right. Superfan James will be over his gastrointestinal distress by the time we come back from break. Trump lovers are attacking LeVar Burton because they think he's LeVar Ball. That reminded me of the time that Samuel Jackson was on Fox News, I think it was. And the guy asked him,
oh, yeah,
what's it like to win an Oscar or something like that? And he's like, that was Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
And he would not let that dude go. He was pissed, and it was like, and that's the angle I was going to come at this with was, okay, let's look at this for a minute. Trump supporters, 99.99% of them are old white people. Who do old white people think all look alike?
Brown people.
So they saw LeVar, and the first thing they thought of was Reading Rainbow, and they jumped all over him.
So basically what you're saying, because I'm assuming there are about 30 million Trump supporters. So I think you got about 50 or 60 million votes, and I figure at least half of them only voted for him because either there was an R and they didn't realize who he was, or they were so anti-Hillary that they just, you know, so... I'm assuming there are about 30 million Trump supporters.
Yeah.
99.99% of that, if you take that out, that leaves 3,000 who are not old white dudes. So I think the math works out. Yeah, I think, you know, black dude named LeVar, I don't even know, Reading Rainbow, I don't even know if Reading Rainbow entered into it. I think it's just black dude named LeVar. This must be that guy. Although you got to admit, it was classic what Trump said.
Well, they probably Googled it. They probably Googled the name, and as soon as they Googled LeVar, Burton came up, and they just jumped all over the guy. Now, if you did it, it'd be LeVar Ball, but 2 days ago, it was LeVar Burton.
Trump, though, man, saying that he's like, oh, they're ungrateful. I should have left them in China. Yeah. You know, and yeah. People in the sports world are pissed because anybody who follows sports hates the Ball family. There's a LeVar Ball is like the, he's like the, what was Michael Jackson's dad's name?
Joe.
He's like the Joe Jackson of basketball. He's got like three sons who are good enough to probably play in the NBA. His first one just started. His second one, I think, is probably going to start next year. And then this third one is the one that was in China. And he's, you know, he'll probably make it in the NBA too, except for he's now, you know, suspended for shoplifting in China. And when Trump says China, does it sound like he's saying vagina, only without the va? Gina.
Yeah, he's leaving the buh off and it's just joining.
I think that's how Alec Baldwin as Trump says it anyway. But anyway, so this LeVar Ball guy, he's like the Joe Jackson of basketball because he's super hyper promoting his kids. And, you know, he's all over Twitter, like dissing other NBA players, talking about how his son's going to be better than Michael Jordan. And then, like, LeBron James will be like, you're dreaming. Nobody's as good as Michael Jordan. And then he'll be like, and then LeVar Ball will be like, coming from the guy who has only won, you know, like, X number of championships. And, like, so he's dissing LeBron James and, like, how his son, like, is going to be better than him. And, like, every NBA player has been dissed by this LeVar Ball guy, which... his son, I'm sure, is just sitting there going, Dad.
Well, no wonder him and Trump get along so well.
Oh, they,
yeah, just let me play.
Well, the problem is they don't get along. I mean, this the only connection they have.
Well, then that would explain why then, because they're both the alphas, so neither one of them, they're not going
to
get along.
Well, plus, he's black. I mean, that's really all you need to know.
Well, there's that.
It's like, do you know any black people that support Trump?
Personally?
so the it was like a Twitter storm, right? It was his son.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the most bizarre thing, and it's the thing that makes me absolutely certain that these tinfoil hat, black helicopter, New World Order people are right, is that shit like this can't just happen. It would be too random.
Mm-hmm.
Because this LeVar guy, LeVar Ball and his sons, he's a total like media manipulator, mm-hmm. right? He's definitely pretty savvy about getting into the news. So, you know, he is like the black Trump, right? And for his son to be one of the guys that gets caught shoplifting in China and then have this Twitter argument with Trump over it, to me, it's too bizarre. Somebody's operating the Heart of Gold, Infinite Improbability Drive.
I think you're right.
Girl, you'll be your woman soon. Love you so much, can't count all the ways I'd die for you, girl. And all they can say is, he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind. Don't you know, girl, you'll be your woman. Come take my hand. Girl, you'll be a woman soon. Soon you'll need a man. I've been misunderstood for all of my life, but when the same girl just cuts like a knife, the boy's no good. Well, I finally found what I've been looking for, but if they get the chance, they'll end it for sure. they won. Maybe I've done all I could. It's up to you, girl. You'll be a woman soon. Please come take my hand, girl. A woman soon, soon you'll need a man. Take my hand, girl, you'll be a woman soon, soon, you'll need a man, soon, you'll need a man.
This might not be our most put together episode, but at least it seems to be entertaining so far. this is the we've backed the don't panic vehicle out of the garage, and after that lost control of it.
Yeah, I mean seriously, it's the tweener episode.
Yeah,
because nothing. Okay, look, anybody who works in corporate America will know what I'm talking about here. Nothing happens from in between Thanksgiving and New Year's, right? Because there's too many vacations.
Yeah.
Too many people are having their little potlucks at work.
Yeah.
Where you find hairs in the... It's the time of year where people make shit that you never eat any other time of the year, like weird desserts and crap like that. And then you find a hair in it, and then you never eat anything again that somebody brings from home. And so there's a lot of that going on.
Strangely enough, it's the time of the year that I eat the most bean casserole. You know, I never eat it any other time but during this tweener season, because bean casserole is like the one dish.
Green bean casserole?
Yes. Everyone knows how to make it, and it's like, it's delicious, but I only eat it like this time of year.
Which I don't quite get. I don't know why we don't have that all year long.
It's so good. It's just,
and I think all you got to do is take canned green beans and dump in a can of like cream of mushroom soup or something, and sprinkle those little crispy onion things
maybe
on top.
Maybe throw some bacon in there, you know, if you're feeling like sassy.
Maybe. Take your man card. Definitely throw some bacon in there. Well, and then we also get eggnog, which you can't buy any other time of the year.
That's fine with me. That stuff is disgusting.
But in corporate America, nothing happens. Plus, through the power of the bad idea, it also happens to be the end of the fiscal year, which means you have to, like, everybody wants to spend as much as possible, because through the power of bad ideas, you get a budget for the year. And if you get to the end of the year and you didn't spend it, you basically lose that money. And everything starts over on January 1st, right? So everybody's like, we got to spend a bunch of money.
Yep. Vacation days are the same way. They don't roll over.
Exactly. So everybody has to use all their vacation days, combines with everybody, of course, you know, everybody's taking their vacation, combines with the fact that the holidays are coming where everybody's off, combined with the people that are working are having these potlucks, combined with all the managers and executives are screaming at everybody to spend as much money as they can before the end of the year. combined with everybody's got senioritis, because it's like, man, we're about to have a week off and we don't really feel like doing anything.
Plus,
I gotta do my shopping.
Yep.
And so shit all gets done around this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some corporations, like some of my clients, turn it into an art form, and nothing gets done starting about 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. Basically Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like Halloween hits, and then everybody goes, oh, we don't want to start anything new. You know, the holidays are coming up, and, well, I got to use all my vacation, and, you know, we got the Thanksgiving pitch in coming up, and, oh, here's the Halloween candy that my kids didn't eat. Put it out on the thing, and everybody starts gaining weight. So you're basically talking about the last 2 months of the year, nothing gets done, right? And then you come back, and nothing gets done in January and February, because everybody's hungover from the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, well, that, you know, everybody has this attitude of, look, this is, we got all year to get this done, right? So my point is, this episode happens to fall during that time when shit gets done, like no shit gets done. And so this is our tweener episode. And even if anybody has time to listen to it, they're probably too busy to even pay attention to what we're talking about.
That's right.
Because they're making cookies to bring in tomorrow to work. Although, I just had this idea. We should have the Don't Panic holiday pitch-in.
maybe we should set that up.
Let's do that. The Don't Panic holiday pitch-in, where all the listeners bring in their favorite dessert. That's... Of course, most of the dudes will just like run to the grocery store and grab a pack of cookies or brownies from.
I love cookies. I don't care. Little do they know, I will eat almost anything.
Or some dudes do, a bag of Tostitos and a jar of Tostitos salsa. This is what I'm bringing.
You know, it could be too. We could do a, you know, you have like pie baking contests, who has the best apple pie and whatnot.
Yeah.
We could have like the best green bean casserole contest.
That's right. It'd be so hard to decide.
You know, oh, man.
This one's good.
Because me, the least amount of effort put into green bean casserole, the better it turns out.
Yes. You literally cannot fuck up green bean casserole. I think the only way you can fuck it up is if you tried too hard. Like if you're like, oh, well, I'm going to go to the source and I'm going to pick from a local farmer. I'm going to pick the green beans that are, you know,
that's right.
There's an exclusion zone around them, you know, in a no man's land, so that no people can come within 200 yards of the green beans. And the person that picks them has to spend 6 months in seclusion in the Himalayas, just doing nothing but praying and washing their hands. And then they come and they pick the green beans. Yes. And once they pick the green beans, they're done. They can never pick green beans again because they've busted their green bean cherry. And then, you know, they bring them back and they're washed with water blessed by the goddesses of the Amazon rainforest. And it's like, dude, just open a fucking can of Libby and some Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. Or Scott Ladd would be fine. Scott Ladd cream of mushroom soup.
Libby, Scott Ladd cream of mushroom
Libby
soup.
Libby or Green Giant green beans.
Get you the shittiest bacon you can find. Just burn that shit.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
Go to Aldi's.
Crumple it up. Throw it in there.
Get the bacon if you need to.
Just put the gel right in there too.
Hell yeah.
Let the canned bacon comes in.
Hell yeah. And, you know, then you cook it, and then you sprinkle those little fried onion things, which are like a gift from God. It's like it's like a pixie dust of green bean casserole. You just kind of...
And you also cannot fuck up an onion either.
True.
There's no physical way, no possible way to fuck up an onion. Whether you pull it out of the garden or fry it up and burn it in a deep fryer, you cannot fuck up an onion.
Yeah. Organic, non-GMO. I don't care. It's an onion. I don't care where it came from.
It don't matter. Fire kills everything.
Yeah. Including weird Monsanto things. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is, however this episode turns out, it will be fine. Because, you know, Tweener season.
It's the green bean casserole of Don't Panic Radio Show episodes. We can't fuck it up.
Oh, man. When's the pitch in? Can't wait. And the green bean casserole cook-off. I love it. I wish we had thought of this like an hour ago. This episode would have been a lot better. Oh, man.
Well, what we could do, because we're at like the hour, we could talk a while about what's coming up on Friday and finish the show out then.
Which by the time they hear this, they will have already heard Friday.
As we,
boy, wasn't last Friday fun?
We disappear in a cloud of logic. How about last Friday?
Right. Yeah, if you guys didn't catch it, we did a live episode, or we will have done a live episode this Friday, last Friday.
Yes.
This on last all right. For purposes of clarity for purposes of expediency, you can just go consult the book of the time traveling tenses. But please forgive any errors we make. So if you didn't have a chance to catch it live, we will have already had a live episode. I don't know. Will we have done Facebook Live or YouTube? There's a YouTube Live. There's a live streaming YouTube, but you might have to pay for that.
Well, we did pretty well with our Facebook Live. We did pretty good with our Facebook Live on our birthday. So we'll run it on Facebook.
Except
Live.
I'm thinking instead of doing like 5 minutes or 10 minutes like we did then, or 20, mm-hmm. just do the whole thing.
Well, yeah,
just
we'll do the whole this way. If once again we're in the vortex, if they tuned in, they heard the unedited version of our Tits and Dragons episode that's coming up this Friday.
Yeah.
If they did not, then they can tune in and listen to the edited, much more succinct version of that episode.
Which the interesting thing is, the Facebook Live version mm-hmm. will have been available forever, because you can always go back and watch them, you know, or you can go listen to the edited version with the musical selections
and
all
that. The Facebook Live episode could be the director's cut.
Yeah, I'm liking this. You know, we should start pimping the hell out of it mm-hmm. too, because if we want to get people to tune in, we should give them an approximate time.
Yeah.
And just start putting it out there, you know, tune in at whatever time.
Yeah.
So we'll be on Central Time. We're probably going to take my mom to dinner for her birthday, which was like over a month ago. And
are you getting cream bean casserole?
Yeah. I don't know if it'll work out. Shit usually doesn't work out with my family. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I just don't know what the root cause is. The thing that happens is nobody plans.
Yeah.
And if anybody tries to plan, other people quickly squash any attempt to plan. Like if you're like, hey, we should let's plan on about 7 o'clock, and we'll go to this restaurant and we'll do this, and these are the people that'll go, well, let's play it by ear. You're like, well, we don't have to play it by ear because I have the sheet music right
That's
here.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
We can, well.
What are you, suddenly a jazz musician? We have the sheet music.
Yeah. Basically, in my family, when somebody says, let's play it by ear, they're basically saying, I don't like your idea,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not comfortable with you driving this bus. So I'm, you know, I'm throwing on the emergency brake, and we're going to do something different.
Right.
I don't know what. You won't know what until the time comes. Right. So anyway, if we have a definite plan, so I'll be at your house by 9, and we'll start by what, 9:30?
Yeah, we'll just 10? We'll play it by ear.
Los Bastardos. El mundo de la juventud. Oh, that reminds me. I know we're almost out of time. And in the spirit of the holiday, where a bunch of people start going to holiday parties and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm going to do that thing where you can never actually leave because you start saying goodbye and everybody always has one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, real quick. I know you're trying. I know you're leaving, but real quick, you know, I went and bought some sausages from a German butcher today here in Indianapolis. It's called Klaus German Sausages or German Meats and Sausages or something. And it's so German. They have German accents in there and they're all like first generation Germans.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there and I wanted 10 sausages. So I said, 10 of those. And he goes, okay, six sausages. So I'm like, no, 10. He's like, 7? No, 10. He's like, 11? I was like, 10. He's like, ah, 10. Okay.
Why didn't you say so?
And then he's getting this. Yeah, you say so. Warum hast du das nicht gesehen? So he gets the sausage. He's like, sprechen Sie Deutsch? And I was like, ja, ein bisschen. Damals war ich fleißig, aber jetzt nicht so viel. He's like, es kommt wieder. Ein Bier und dann fleißig. It's like cracking up. And so we had this little exchange where I was speaking German to the guy, and he's speaking German back to me, and he basically said, oh, it comes back quickly or whatever. I said, I used to be fluent, but I'm not anymore. And he's like, oh, it comes back. And I was like, yeah, it does. And he's like, well, you just have a beer and next thing you know, you're fluent again.
That sounds like German.
Yeah. So I was actually surprised how much I remembered and that he could understand me and that I could understand him. It was fun. It was a good time. So. That having been said, so we're going to pimp. So everybody go check out our feed because there's a Facebook Live over there that we will have had recorded.
Yeah.
And if you missed it, you can go check it out. Otherwise you can wait a few days and, we'll have the edited version with the music.
This is going to be so much fun to edit.
All right. Well, oh, one more thing. I'm in Kroger the other day with my daughter picking up it was my mother-in-law. We were having my mother-in-law's birthday party, so my daughter and I we're buying a cake and some ice cream and stuff, and then my wife called me, or no, I called my wife to ask if we needed tea, and I'm talking to her about tea, and she's, I don't know why she couldn't just say we're fine on tea, don't worry about it. But for some reason, I think it was clearly my fault. Somehow we got in this long conversation, a long, confusing conversation. So I'm standing there talking and some dude, like he didn't even come up from behind me. He snuck up on me from the front and gave me a big hug while I'm on the phone. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I look up and right there standing in front of me, having had just given me a hug, is MP Cavalier.
Oh, that's awesome. Kroger. I was worried about him. I'm glad to see he's out and about.
He's good, man. He's doing great. So I was like, I got to go. MP Cavalier just gave me a hug. So like, oh, okay. So I hung up. And, you know, we had that few minutes where, okay, have you ever been, like you see somebody in a store, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily that you're in a big hurry, but your idea of a fun Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon isn't necessarily standing in the middle of a store talking to somebody, right? You're glad to see him, right? But it's kind of like, look, I just wanted to say hi. I even thought about maybe not, I thought about not saying hi just so we could quickly get this done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're in this conversation, I got to figure out how to get out of it because, you know, I don't have all day here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my ice cream's melting. Ooh, I got to get going. Yeah.
Well, he didn't have any ice cream in his cart, so he couldn't use that excuse. I was the one with the ice cream. He could have said, ooh, your ice cream is melting. I guess he could have done that. What he eventually did, I forget how he got out of it, but eventually he was able to make an excuse and make his escape. But I don't remember how he did it, to be honest. I just remember thinking, what, he didn't want to talk to me anymore? No. Seriously, I remember standing there thinking, I just want to stand here for the rest of the day talking to MP Cavalier.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for sure he doesn't want to stand here for the rest of the day talking to me. So I want to have as much time as I can, but I don't want to be that guy that he's trying to get away from but can't figure out how. So at some point, I am going to use the excuse of my ice cream, not because I want it to end, but because I don't want him to avoid me the next time he sees me, thinking, I don't want to say hi to Vincent because I'll get stuck for 10 minutes talking to him, right? So it's a delicate balance. But he made some kind of excuse, like he was looking for packets of... He did this. He goes, well, I'm on the lookout for... he was buying snacks for the school or whatever. He's like, I'm on the lookout for, you know, whatever you call those. You know, you get the giant box of potato chips and there's all these little bags of potato chips.
Yes, yes.
Whatever that's called.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm on the lookout for that, you know. And I was like, oh, okay. And I could tell that that was his I'm getting out of here thing, right? except I go, oh yeah, what is that? Is that for school? Are those snacks for school? Yeah, yeah, snacks for school. Then, oh, cool. How's Leah? How's she doing? She's good. She's really busy. What is she busy doing exactly? Like exactly what?
In detail.
I wasn't doing it on purpose. I knew that he needed to get away. I knew that I wanted him to be able to get away so that he would stop and talk to me next time. Anyway, to answer your question, he's doing great. He's off of Facebook. And just, he said the calmness that he has, he said he has a lot more time on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, he is very happy for not having been on Facebook for several months.
Yeah, he's been off for a while.
So that's all. Yeah, so he's been, he's done, I guess. It was nice seeing him, though. Still has a beard.
I didn't doubt it for a minute.
Yeah. He wasn't wearing his hat, though.
Well, he's in disguise.
Well, I can see that you really want to wrap this up, so I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Oh, wait. One more thing. Real quick.
This is turning into the Thanksgiving episode, isn't it? Wait, one more thing, really quick.
Oh, man, that's funny. Okay, that's probably enough. No Superfan James this week, but regardless, for Superfan James, may he get well. Thoughts and prayers headed his way. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vincent. And nothing and just her, just her, just her was true, was true, was true, was true.
Now hit it on four. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Did you ever take a look as he left around? Everyone I thought was cool is 6 feet underground. They tried to get me lost in time, and now they're coming after you. I got out and I'm here to say, maybe you could get out too. I'm still alive and well, still alive and well. Every now and then I know it's kind of hard to tell, but I'm still alive and well, still alive and well, still alive and well. Every now and then I know it's kind of hard to tell, still alive and well. Woo! When I think about the past, it only brings me down. Let's make up in the grass while the sun is shining down. The heart.
What a time.